Start your day the right way by taking charge of your physical and mental fitness.
It's important to know your numbers. They determine if your blood pressure is high or low, your cholesterol balance, even your blood sugar level, heart rate, and much more.
Get tested by visiting your doctor, clinic, or stop by at any health center closest to you.
Take control today. This message is from Doctors on Air with Dr. Pamela.
This is Doctors on Air with Dr. Pamela.
Good morning. Today I'll be talking about obesity and how it affects you. And so it's an important topic you need to really address. Thank you for coming on the program, Dr. Abuchi, Dr. Rapu, and Mrs. Dijerere. It's a pleasure to have all three of you here with me today to talk about this very important topic.
Thank you.
So Dr. Okaro, can you start off by telling us what is obesity really and why should we be worried about it?
Yes, thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Doctors on Air. This is really an important conversation. In a simple definition, I think we could say that obesity is a situation where an individual is storing too much of their body composition in the form of fat, what we call the body fat composition. So obesity is relevant because, unfortunately, when fat is stored in excess of about 25-30%, particularly 25 in men, 35-40% in women, you then start to develop problems that are organ specific. And this is because of the way the fat interacts with these organs. And that's why obesity becomes a problem. Now, obesity traditionally was considered as a byproduct of certain things, but now it has been singled out as an actual disease. Which helps because, of course, you can start to seek direct treatment for obesity without even having any, associated problems. So really, the reason why obesity is coming to the spotlight is that obesity as a problem or as a disease causes dysfunction or abnormalities in pretty much every organ of the human body, which is...
Like what? Could you give us some examples? What areas does obesity really affect us?
Yeah, so if we start actually from from the top, the head, and then we'll go down. I'll sort of come down that way. So if you come to the brain, obesity is linked quite significantly with dementia, early onset dementia, cognitive decline, issues to do with obviously memory. So that's quite relevant. The other thing that obesity is linked to is some elements of depression. And other mood type related problems. Coming down, you can find obesity affecting the lungs in this specific condition, what we call sleep apnea or chronic sleep apnea, whereby when you breathe, you sleep, in the night, your airway blocks, and then you end up with hypoxia. That is a very, very serious problem. In fact, some people coin it as a silent killer. So obesity is linked to sleep apnea. Coming further, of course, you have the heart, which is obviously sitting in the center of the chest. Obesity is linked very, 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 very closely with hypertension, atherosclerosis and ischemic heart disease, and some levels of cardiomyopathy and heart failure. Coming further down, we come to, say, for example, the pancreas, and we are talking about pancreatic issues like diabetes, type 2 specifically. We're talking other areas such as the liver. You're talking about fatty liver, which if left untreated or progressive can lead to cirrhosis and indeed liver failure. Coming further, you come into the gut. Obesity is linked with all sorts of dysregulation of the gut system that can lead to things like reflux disease or other things such as dysbiosis, obviously, of the bowels, and obviously problems with bowel function. When you come lower down, especially in females, you can get polycystic ovaries, infertility, certainly primary and secondary infertility, can be linked to obesity. So really, I think the final one that I would probably want to highlight would be something like orthopedics or back pain, hip pain, joint pain, knee pain, and so on. So I think you can see that obesity is a pretty global problem.
It is.
You know, you don't get away with issues with obesity.
And I think there's something, even though you went through very specifically all of it, you didn't talk about the link to cancer.
I was going to come to that. Thank you for calling me up there on that. That's a really, really important link. Of course, the problem with obesity and cancer is that a lot of them are associations. I'm not going to go into the science, the driver for why, but I think the ones that are very, very definite would be some like endometrial cancer comes up top. Stomach cancer, esophageal cancer also comes in, I think. But yes, obesity. But I mean, overall, early death, premature death, poor function.
Bottom line.
Of course. Yeah. Indeed.
Bottom line, obesity kills. And it's actually very interesting because if you look at us culturally, obesity has actually always been encouraged. You know, people have always said, oh, no, the better, the better. You know, if there's sickness, that person won't go. You know, that kind of thing. So there's always been that cultural shift and sort of men in our own part of the world preferring bigger women. But so it's going to come as a surprise to a lot of people. The fact that, you know, they're saying that to be fat, to be obese, is actually to be ill.
Indeed. And I think that's probably some of the big wake-up messages that are coming out from, you know, all corners, you know, of the sort of the health, you know, not just, specialists, but also things like public health physicians, WHO. I mean, they're pushing this very strongly because of how it globally affects and is killing a lot of people.
Can you tell us some of the risk factors contributing to the rise in obesity rates globally? Because we know that obesity is on the rise. Even here, it's on the rise. So, but why? Why is it on the rise? What are the reasons? What are the risk factors for it?
Well, I think I would just hit it, but I think it's really, Charisse, as a nutritionist and dietitian, really, I think, will be the best person to answer that. But in a nutshell, I think from a surgeon's point of view and a physician looking after obesity, I think it's the fact that we are consuming far too many calories and sadly bad calories. So these are things like processed foods.
Well, no, I think we'll ask Charisse. Charisse, why don't you jump in here and just talk to us about the risk factors, some of the risk factors contributing to the rise in global obesity rates.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Pamela. Good morning. So when it comes to the rise in obesity and the factors that cause this, certainly the foods that we're eating, we have a lot more restaurants, fast foods. People are busier. They're working a lot. They are sitting just about 6 to 8 hours for the day. So they're not even exercising. Many people are not sleeping well. And all these factors also contribute to the rise in obesity.
Now, what about stress? Who here can sort of look at the stress angle? Because a lot of people say that increase in stress, the world is getting more and more stressful. Yeah. What with COVID, now with, recession, we don't need to talk about the Naira rates. There's just so much going on and it's global. There's so much pressure on everybody and the pressure is increasing. And, there's sort of no way out. I hear all our cortisol levels are up. In fact, I will tell you that I checked my cortisol level and my cortisol level is up. And so how do you factor that in?
I would say taking deliberate steps, but certainly the stress of the country, what's happening, your foods that you eat also contribute to the cortisol levels. Your not sleeping also contributes to your stress levels. And just not being mindful. So the breathing, taking your time, not reacting to certain things, just choosing what you really decide that's important to you and taking that time out to rest and bring your life in balance.
Yeah, so Dr. Uchu, you are from the next generation, as it were. And so young people have a lot of issues. They have the obesity issues. They have the anorexia issues. I mean, how do you figure it for your generation? What are some of the risk factors you can see that are playing a role there?
What I'd say I noticed, because we have mostly younger people, like people my age range coming to the clinic. A lot of people are, since COVID, working from home now. So sitting at their desks, most jobs are really just kind of like sitting at home on your computer. There's a lot of alcohol use. So going out, I think a way for people to deal with stress and their daily sort of daily stresses. So they're drinking a lot Friday, Saturday, Sunday, calorie intake with alcohol. Because we started picking up high blood pressure as well in like 30-year-olds that they just, you know, haven't been aware of or literally never checked because they just assume they're young and healthy. Not many people are exercising as much as they should. I do think we have sort of good gyms. There's good culture of exercise. But most people that are presenting with obesity are just refusing to exercise. So we're doing a lot of counseling, a easy way to lose weight and just, you know, we're literally begging them to exercise. I find another thing that comes up is nutrition. In terms of work schedule, I get home late or I live by myself and, you know, we get small shops in the office. So there's inadequate planning for nutrition. So I also find in terms of people just not knowing what to do, we have people coming in and I drink energy drinks throughout the day. I'm taking weight loss tea. So I feel just an inadequate knowledge of nutrition alongside unhealthy habits to do with how they're eating, they're drinking, some people on drugs and not exercising as well.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Doctors on Air with Dr. Pamela.
Dr. Carol, do you know of any misconceptions about obesity that people that you may encounter frequently in your practice? Things like, you know, in my family we're big, so that, you know, that's how we are. Things like that.
Absolutely. I think that probably does come up, number one, the ability to accept your condition or make excuses. And I think that's the key. And I think the fact or the point to make about that is that, yes, there are may well be some historical genetic links, but the truth is that who and how we are weighing currently is a real byproduct of our lifestyle or dietary habits. It's a very simple formula. I think giving people that ownership of your condition is your responsibility.
That means everybody probably eats badly in that house, in a nutshell. Thank you. So if I can go then to Dr. Ju, what are some of the psychological effects that individuals with struggling with obesity experience?
I'd say some of the people coming in requesting weight loss drugs are usually coming in feeling low. I'm not comfortable. I've had ladies say, I don't like going out because my clothes don't fit properly. I just don't feel myself. So I'd say there's usually a lack in self-confidence, self-esteem, and just not feeling like their best selves, not feeling comfortable in what they're wearing. Those are typically the reasons a few people would come requesting weight loss medication.
Do you have people with actual proper clinical depression or anything like that, or anxiety? People coming in with conditions as severe as that?
We haven't had anyone that there's a solid diagnosis. But in terms of doing like a mini mental state, asking questions, asking, you know, issues with sleeping, eating, how they're feeling, moods. I'd say there's a couple of probably undiagnosed anxiety, depression that might be linked also with their weight alongside, you know, possibly other things.
So there's some degree of psychological affection. Now, if I can move to you, Cherise, what are some of the effective strategies we can talk about in terms of preventing and managing obesity at both the individual and community levels?
I think the best way, number one, would be the mindset. So how they look at obesity, do they want to be healthy? Do they want to be energetic? Do they want to feel good? And certainly with implementing that lifestyle change, the exercise, the foods, that the choices of foods that they eat. And then also going to bed a bit earlier, looking at avoiding all the processed foods and drinking water. So the water also helps to avoid the snacking, just really approaching this in a holistic way, having the meal prep, the meal plan, having something that helps to routine and help you to be on a schedule. so you achieve your goal.
Now, what can we do when I talk about the community level? Would you set something that really, you know, sort of hit a mark with me? And she said, a lot of people simply don't know what to do. And this covers a lot of people, and in particular, a lot of younger people. How can we address this at a community level, for example?
I think as a community, we can either have certain groups, some subgroups that maybe they go and exercise at the stadium, do walking, meet at particular times, just having that same interest, the healthy eating, even the program that we're doing now also helps the community to see and understand and implement. It's being consistent in what they start doing and making it a habit.
Thank you. I think Dr. Carol, we haven't actually talked about, we've talked to Cherise. She's talked to us about diet. And obviously that's the most important thing, because it's what you take in versus what you put out. And there's so many, obviously, different kinds of diets. She hasn't gone into diets per se, but has actually spoken more about lifestyle changes, which is probably for the long term. But there are surgical and medical treatments for obesity. Can you tell us about surgical treatments? You're a surgeon, and when it is actually useful to do those surgical treatments? Because I'm not sure it's useful in all of obesity patients. Who is it useful for, and when should they do it?
Yeah, no, really key. Really, I think the intervention is really key for those seeking. I think, in a nutshell, I always kind of see it as the whether you're doing it for a medical reason, so like say you're trying to treat type 2 diabetes or hypertension, because they tend to kind of coexist. Whether you're trying to, you know, attempt for, you know, reduce weight for the aim of maybe getting rid of sleep apnea or whatever. So I think the indications for treatment can be in that sort of medical reason. There's also a big category, which is obviously the aesthetic, energy, appearance, self-esteem, confidence issue. So that's, no, we don't call it cosmetic surgery, but I think it's very much in the aesthetic range. What I will say is that using something like a BMI, body mass index, we're not really going to go into that because it's obviously a very sort of slightly controversial area, but BMI is still the nomenclature. It is still the formula we use to try and put people into categories. BMI above 30, obviously is obese. Between 28 or 25 and 29 is overweight and so on. So that helps. That's really how things like insurance companies will pay for these kind of treatments. But in a nutshell, by the time a patient comes to us for medical treatment, then we're really looking at two broad categories. Giving them drugs. And there's a lot out there that June will tell us a little bit about what she does that have had quite a big impact. In a sort of a global community sense. And then you're looking at surgery, which are operations to the gastrointestinal tract. So for me, I think we're looking at reducing the size of the stomach so people eat smaller volumes. That's what we call restriction. What that means is that patients have their stomachs made smaller, essentially. They eat less, which means that they have less calories, which means that they are potentially going to end up with a deficit of energy, which means they lose weight. As simple as that. Now, there are other impacts of this to do with the brain, things called ghrelin, PYY, these are all hormones, leptin, these are all hormones, the signaling molecules in the blood. So that's what surgery does. It interferes with the pathways, mechanical, neurological, psycho-emotional, that end up causing people to lose weight. And there are other ones that create what we call malabsorption, which means that patients don't absorb the food they eat. The key really is calorie restriction and nutritional adjustments for healthier, more nutritious foods over time.
Okay. And would you just over to you now to talk a bit about the medical aspects in your your aesthetic practice? You do deal with medical drugs and so on for obesity?
Yes, we do offer some medication that help with weight loss. And these work usually by mimicking certain hormones in your body that signal to your brain that you're full. So ultimately, reducing your calorie intakes, you're not eating as much. They also work to slow down your stomach emptying food. So there's a constant feeling of fullness, all medication do have potential side is done under supervision at the clinic, so we can, you know, monitor, make sure you're losing weight safely while avoiding side effects.
Thank you very much. I think it's very important people understand there's a wide range of things that need to be done. But there is a strange thing in our society, which is there's a strange stigma attached to losing weight. I actually experienced it myself. I've had my mother-in-law would say, Kamala, why are you losing weight? Say they're not taking care of you in a giant house, you know. Or there's some people who come and say, you're this person that now dry like bunga fish. You know, all manner of issues, a strange stigma. What do you have to say about that?
The thing is really interesting. I find that trends change. So really now what people want is a tiny waist, big hips, you know, at some point being rounder and curvier is in, at some point being slim is in, really just based on what celebrities are doing, what's going on in social media. So really now most ladies are honestly coming wanting a thinner waist. That thin figure and then, you know, wider hips is what most people are looking for. So I haven't really encountered sort of stigma of people, you know, feeling that there's a stigma of them losing weight. They're usually coming in saying, people are saying, I look better, I look younger.
Okay, so that's in the younger generation. Do you know anything about that, Charisse or Abuche? We just have a few minutes left to perhaps talk about it. Do you find it an issue? Do you find people having a problem with it?
Thank you. I would say that, some people do have an issue with themselves losing weight and the reaction that they get. But by the time we coach them and help them realize that, listen, this is what your healthy weight should be. That, of course, if you're doing your exercise, you're toning up, it is fine. So getting them in the right headspace where it doesn't matter what outside people say, but they know how their body feels and how they wake up in the morning feeling good. Yeah.
Thank you. So, Abuchi, we don't have much time left. Do you have any last words for our listeners?
Yes, I think this is a really key conversation. And I do hope that, you know, the community will look into the fact that please take responsibility for your health. There is no question about it. If you have too much fat, you will have a more shorter and less productive life. Please take it very, very seriously.
Would you, any last words?
Weight loss medication, losing weight isn't, you know, losing weight, there's also effort that is required on people's part in terms of diet, nutrition, ongoing exercise to actually manage the weight loss and maintain a healthy weight. Because you can always put the weight back on again.
Thank you. Charisse, any last words?
Yes, eating is vitality. It's life. It's living. It makes you feel good. So eat healthy.
Thank you very much.
Doctors on Air with Dr. Pamela.